From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Professional troll Milo Yiannopoulos plans to descend onto a campus in Southern California on Halloween. The Cal State Fullerton chapter of the College Republicans invited Yiannopoulos to speak despite the ongoing security concerns around the high-profile alt-right figure. Yiannopoulos' speeches in Glendale, California and Phoenix, Arizona have already been canceled. His name has also popped up in the news after a former intern of his named Lane Davis was found to have stabbed his father because his father called him a Nazi. While Cal State Fullerton campus authorities have grudgingly allowed Yiannopoulos' Halloween speaking event to go forward, anti-fascist activists are refusing to let the event remain unchallenged. My guest is Kiana Salina. She's an organizer with the Los Angeles United Front Against Fascism. Welcome to the program, Kiana.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So as far as I understand, the event is a ticketed event happening on Tuesday, October 31st at Cal State Fullerton. Yiannopoulos is claiming that all the tickets have been sold out. There's 800 something people that are going to be showing up there. What do you make of the fact that Cal State Fullerton has allowed this event to go forward, first of all?
It's absolutely deplorable. They should know better than to bring that type of danger element to their campus, to a place that's supposed to be an education, an institution for higher learning. And we know what happened in Charlottesville. It's very, you know, obvious how dangerous this is. So it's really a shame on the faculty and those who allowed that to happen and those who are refusing to stand up to that and fight that, because that should not be allowed.
Now, there a local elementary school in the area, I understand, is closing that day because of security concerns, and even professors are canceling their classes on the Cal State Fullerton campus. It seems like a lot of people are going out of their way to ensure safety and security over the appearance of this one figure.
You know what? And it's a shame. It's a shame. The fact that the professors are canceling classes, they don't want to put their students at risk, and people who may be targeted for hate crimes and children are not safe, you know, against the fascist state, against white supremacists, as we've seen in the case of Tamir Rice, Ayanna Jones, and historically with black children. So, you know, it's the fact that professors and elementary schools feel the need to shut down their campuses and just to keep the students safe, that should be a big red flag right there, because no one should have to hide from these people. And this is why we have to oppose them at any chance that we get. No one should have to be hiding from these people. They should not have free rein to just walk around and spread their hate speech and their dangerous ideologies and their threats to women, to LGBTQ people, to undocumented people, to people of oppressed nations, and we're hiding from them. And it needs to be the opposite. They need to be the ones hiding.
One professor, a Cal State Fullerton professor at the Department of Communications, Doug Swanson, wrote a letter to the Daily Titan, which is a student newspaper, saying you should look at Milo's visit as a learning experience, as a moment where you can learn something from it. He said, those troubled about his appearance here and those whose lives are impacted have the obligation, as learners do, to do thoughtful inquiry, ask questions, find answers, then act responsibly. This is what scholars do in a community of higher learning. What do you make of what he's saying?
I think that history is the best teacher, and history has taught us, even in the most recent history in Charlotte, that they have no regard for human life. It's an excuse and it's a diversion to say that it's a learning experience. It's not a learning experience. It's not welcome. This is literally white supremacist apologist speech. And it's the same thing. If, you know, he preaches the advocacy of rape. He literally preaches that anti-rape is oppression of men. And so if anyone would oppose that, that would make them a rape apologist. And so this professor is literally an apologist.
And of course, he was removed from or forced to resign from his position at Breitbart over comments that he made in favor of pedophilia. which is child rape.
Obviously, yeah. That's not okay. It's disgusting. I teach my daughter a lot about consent. I teach her to own herself, to own her body. I teach her about good touches and bad touches. And I credit that to Alicia Barlow, the Tell Somebody movement, because she's written books. And she has a children's book out that speaks to children and tells them what grooming behavior is and what are good touches and bad touches, what are our private areas and what's okay and not okay. And it's a shame because we're having to teach our children how to spot that behavior and teach young women and young girls how not to get raped and teach, you know, young children how not to get raped on top of how to not get killed by police and a lot of times in vain. And these are the people who literally, you know, Milo, people who are preaching that immigrants and trans people and LGBTQ people and oppressed nationalities that we need to be eliminated, they are the ones who need to be eliminated. And I am not advocating violence, but what I am saying is that they need to be opposed to the degree that they don't feel safe to come out with this ideology. And our children need to be protected. He is a disgusting, putrid animal. For him to speak in favor of pedophilia, and it just shows how morally bankrupt these people are with this ideology that they think rape is okay, right. That they think pedophilia is okay, and they need to know that our children will be equipped to protect themselves, and we will protect our children by any means necessary.
He has apologized for that one comment, saying it was the only thing he has ever apologized for, but on the issue of rape culture, he has said openly that he believes college rape culture is a myth, etc. So let's talk about what you and others have planned at the Los Angeles United Front Against Fascism, although this event is happening in Orange County, in the neighboring county. What is your organization and what are your fellow activists planning on Halloween at the Cal State Fullerton campus?
At this point, the Los Angeles United Front Against Fascism, we are a culmination of different organizations who have worked together or worked in conjunction with each other on various occasions, some with police brutality, some with the Anti-Spying Coalition, and some with immigration. And so what we're doing is coming together and recognizing the unity in our struggles and that we need to unite to oppose this. At this point, there may be some folks that we have inside the building, and then a lot of us will be outside to oppose it. Right now, we're continuing to unite people in that area. Milo Yiannopoulos has already received our flyer from someone. You know, we've had flyers around the event, and he posted it to his Instagram page. So we know that he knows that we'll be there. And because he is, thirsty for attention, he posted it and as a way to make himself look like a victim and that his speech is being suppressed. But we will be there in full force and we will continue to mobilize people for his freak show.
So let's also talk about the other aspect of Milo's work that's been in the news. His ex-intern Lane Davis, who was in Washington State when he stabbed his father earlier this year. This is a person who interned with Milo Yiannopoulos. He is a pro-Trump activist, a conspiracy theorist. And he was unemployed and living with his parents, and the Daily Beast revealed they got access to a tape of what happened right before he killed his father. Apparently, he stabbed his father after his father called him a Nazi, and he ran around accusing his parents of all sorts of things, and then did this terrible thing. This should not surprise us, right? He talked about leftist pedophiles, and the mother, his mother, said that he was chasing us around the house. He was mad about something on the internet about leftist pedophiles. He thinks we're leftist, and he's calling us pedophiles. This shouldn't surprise us that this is the kind of violence that comes from people like those who are associated with Milo Yiannopoulos and Donald Trump.
Right. And people like Milo, people like Donald Trump, they didn't invent white supremacy, but they are exploiting it. They're exploiting the ideology. They're exploiting the history of, you know, against working class. Donald Trump is anti-union. He's anti-women. He's anti-women's rights. He's anti-worker. You know, he's trying to impose right to work, which actually takes away workers' rights. And so Lane, David Staving, his father, that just lets you know that they don't even subscribe to their own ideology fully, because obviously his parents brought him into this world. His parents allowed him to live with them, and that's how he repays his parents, by killing them. And it just, it's sad because this is the way that they exploit and manipulate people's mental illnesses. I believe a lot of the mental illnesses just come straight out of working class misery and people not being able to reconcile their position in this world and recognize what is going on. And a lot of working class white folks are pulled into this ideology because they're made to believe that the problem are, you know, oppressed nations. The problems are LGBTQ people, Muslims, non-documented people, people who are undocumented. And they don't understand that there is a ruling class and that there is a whole class of people who have enough money, more money among themselves than all of us down here put together. You know, and that's why Donald Trump has to exploit every difference. And that's why his soldiers, his minions like Milo, have to exploit every difference and keep us dividing and fighting each other so that we don't recognize the common enemy. And that maybe you pay a white worker a little bit more or give that person an advantage over that black worker, but we're still all in the same boat. And Donald Trump doesn't care. Otherwise, he would not be crushing the unions. He's crushing the healthcare of people who voted for him. So it just shows the disloyalty they have to their own following, the fact that this man would do that to his own parents and his own family and someone who put him on the planet over his ideology. And it just shows how mentally ill, and I do want to apologize for even associating the term mentally ill, because most mentally ill people are nonviolent, but it exposes how psychotic people like Donald Trump, people like Milo Yiannopoulos are, because they literally think that the planet should only belong to them and that they shouldn't have to share the planet with people. They shouldn't have to share the country with people when it's other people. It is the non-documented people. It is the Black nation who built this country with their bare hands. We are what makes America great. And they are what makes America horrible, a horrible place to be, because they won't pay a living wage. Even Hillary Clinton wouldn't support the $15 an hour. Bernie Sanders supported the $15 an hour call, the Fight for 15, that was initiated by Kashama Sawant in Seattle. And that, you know, food service workers are fighting for $15 an hour minimum wage. So I just tie that together to say that there's a lot of people, we are all oppressed. We are wage slaves. We are in the working class. And some of us are more oppressed than others via our gender, via, you know, our sex or our sexual preference or our documented or undocumented status. So we just need to keep coming together to oppose these folks, because they are the minority and they sense it. And that's where their desperation comes from, is wanting to remain on top and wanting everything to be cis white male dominated. But that day is over.
I think what you identified is so crucial right now. A lot of this is a backlash against what is perceived as white victimhood, even though evidence to the contrary exists everywhere. There's a saying, right? When you're used to privilege, equality can feel like oppression. And that's not, of course, not at all to say that all white people feel this way. It's a certain faction of white Americans who are feeling victimized and threatened. That's the same faction that tends to support Donald Trump and the folks like Milo Yiannopoulos. There are plenty of progressive whites, thankfully, anti-racist whites, thankfully, that are among the ranks of those who are opposing Milo and Trump. Let's talk about, go back to the issue of the Halloween appearance of Milo Yiannopoulos at Cal State Fullerton. His events, as I mentioned, at Glendale in Southern California and Phoenix, Arizona, have been canceled primarily because of security concerns. And even in places where he has showed up, like Berkeley, he has had a hard time finding enough people to show up and support him. So this is not a person who is widely popular. He's showing up at Cal State Fullerton. As far as you know, how much money is being spent on security? Because we heard the events that took place in Florida last week, where there was this huge event, alt-right event, they spent $500,000 on security.
I believe that you're in the right ballpark. I don't have the exact figure in front of me. I did hear once about how much they were spending on security, and that money could go to securing programs for our youth. And I mean, the fact that schools are having to be shut down and the fact that professors are canceling their classes just shows that this is a huge disruption. The fact that money has to be spent to secure him, it just shows that it's a big disruption and it shouldn't even be welcome. I don't know why they are even allowed to have somebody there preaching about advocacy of rape and white nationalism.
And so they don't want to be accused of undermining people's free speech rights, but you would imagine that somebody who's sort of who's associated with people who espouse violence is enough of a security threat that that could be a reason to say, no, you can't come speak.
Right. I mean, how far does free speech go? Because it seems to be the thing that people conjure up when they want to say what they want to say. But history has shown us, just by George Zimmerman walking away after murdering Trayvon, and the dispatch told him, "We don't need you to do that." That he didn't need to be followed. So I think they've had enough freedoms. And the fact that they're pulling this white victimhood card again by the fact that they can't go and spread their hateful ideology, that they're not able to recruit people into their war on most people, and they understand that they are a minority. They understand that the planet is mostly people of oppressed nations. And that's why I said their desperation comes from. They're desperate because they see themselves dying. They see that people are coming together, people are unifying, the country is becoming more brown. And they don't know how to accept that. But this is a planet that they're on. And if they don't like it, then they can get out of here.
So, what are you calling on people to do, those who are local to Southern California on Tuesday night, Tuesday on the Cal State campus? I believe it's in the late afternoon. What are you calling on people to do?
Yes, ma'am. It's 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. And just show up in solidarity. Be prepared. There's disabled people, there's children, there are pregnant women, women. There's going to be all kind of people that are there in peace and in unity. And so the first thing I will do is say that that we are the working class and we are multinational and we are internationalists. So come ready to serve. And if even if that's in the way of just making sure that each other is okay, not assuming anything. If you go there, don't assume that someone's a white supremacist until they show what they are, because we have a lot of progressive revolutionaries. I don't even want to call them revolution, but we have a lot of comrades out there who are opposing white supremacy with us. So I would say don't show up ready to make a judgment, a snap judgment about people, but show up ready to be linked arm in arm and shoulder to shoulder in unity against the white supremacist faction. And they will reveal themselves. And also, this is what I learned when they began crashing racial justice meetings in Santa Monica, is that you have black and brown people who are in their organizations too. And this is why you cannot be sure who is who. Because I was being trolled by a black, Trump supporter who runs with some of these white nationalist
Oh,
groups.
wow.
And it can be very confusing if you don't know who is who. You might see someone white and assume that they're with, the white nationalists, and see someone brown or black and assume that they're on your side. And this is where the class struggle comes in. So just make sure that you come and you keep your eyes open and stay vigilant and be ready to link arm in arms with those who oppose them, no matter where they come from, because this is what this is about, is the fact that they're trying to divide us and we'd live in perfect harmony without these people.
How important, finally, is it for people just to show up, given that there is this sentiment among some who say, look, this guy is he's a professional attention seeker, and when you organize around him or against him, he has won. That is exactly what he wants. He is seeking attention, and you're giving it to him.
I understand that, and I understand that sentiment, but what he represents is dangerous. And so he might not be the foot soldier willing to go and commit acts of violence and terrorism, but a Dylann Roof may be in his following, and a Dylann Roof may be one of his followers who says, okay, well, I'm willing to go sit in a congregation and listen to them and pray with them for 2 hours and then begin opening fire on women and children. They said, you rape our women. Dylann Roof said, you rape our women, and then killed mostly black women in a
Wow.
church. full of people, you know, so their ideology doesn't add up. We need to be there to oppose them at every level, in every place that they exist. And whether it gets him attention or not, the fact that his ideology is dangerous and the fact that he might be the coward, but there are people among his ranks who will go and commit acts of terrorism and violence. And this is why we need to be there and oppose them. And people who are white nationalists need to also see that there are white folks who are standing with us for a reason. And there needs, you know, that it's just so sad how misled that they are, because they really truly believe that, number one, that they have no advantage over other people. And it's such a lie. And it's, you know, they're going against their own class struggle, because Donald Trump does not care about them either. And if you're poor and you're white and you're working class, you can say, I don't have privilege. You may not think that you have any advantage over people, but your advantages were written in other people's blood. Your advantage is written in other people's denial of rights. So maybe I would not use the word privilege. Maybe I would say you have rights that other people do not have.
And certainly those things can be invisible to people who've accepted them all their lives, and then, you know, feel like that's what is being taken away from them. Well, Kiana, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to the Facebook page of LA United Front Against Fascism so people can find out more about the event on Tuesday. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
My guest is Kiana Salina. She's an organizer with the Los Angeles United Front Against Fascism. We've been discussing Milo Yiannopoulos' planned event on the campus of Cal State Fullerton in Orange County, Southern California, on Tuesday, October 31st. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.